There's new EQIP funding from USDA, plus we'll talk about how La Nina could affect this production season, and a lot more on today's episode of the Arkansas AgCast, which starts right now.
You're listening to the Arkansas AgCast, where we discuss the latest news, trends, and issues impacting Arkansas farmers and ranchers. Our show is brought to you by the Arkansas Farm Bureau Federation and hosted by Jason Brown and John Nickman.
Howdy, gents.
Hello.
This is the podcast studio.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to show you guys around, reintroduce you to the space.
Yeah. How you been? I haven't seen you in a while.
I know, man. It's been a long time. I've just been sitting down here waiting on you to show up.
You've been waiting a long time.
You know, the bright side about having all those special guests come in and do deep dives with us is that we had an incredible opportunity to sit down with three members of the congressional delegation from Arkansas, get some updates on things from farm bill, conservation, ag labor issues, all kinds of topics that we were able to cover directly with the folks who are representing our state in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, they're all great interviews.
They really are.
Yeah.
The downside of that is, you know, in order to get those out,
you don't want to see us.
Yeah, we don't want to do a regular show and, you know, be just bombarding your inbox or your notifications with AgCast.
So if you missed us, we're deeply sorry.
We are. But we're back.
Yeah.
And should be back for a while, I think.
Should be.
We'll see how that goes. I don't know. It's a rainy Thursday. Today, Matthew was on our team, was going out for a shoot earlier, and we were encouraging him to wait a few minutes. He had to load up some equipment. It was just a steady downpour.
Is it supposed to stop after lunch?
I think so. I think it's going to be come and go through Sunday. If I'm read it correctly in Little Rock. Let me clarify.
Yeah, I'm really bad at not looking at the weather until it's here. Well, one of the stories I'm going to give today would not indicate that, but
right.
But yeah,
reminds me of a Jimmy Buffett song.
Does it?
Anyway, so we're in kind of a wet pattern. Mm-hmm. That being said, it has not been such, and you'll tell us what that looks like, you know, in sort of the longer range future. But
that's correct.
I'm going to tell us what it looks like more currently. Presently, I should say, here in a few minutes when we talk about planting progress and how that's been going. It's going to be crazy to talk about March Madness brackets on, you know, April 25th, but
we've been gone for so long.
We've been gone, and we haven't been able to update everyone on the status of that little competition, we'll say.
Yeah, I will say I was doing pretty good.
Yeah.
I was doing real good.
Yeah, you were.
Might say overly confident. And I will also say is that last year I picked Purdue.
Yeah.
And they lost in the first round. And this year I picked Purdue and they lost in the last round. So what do you do?
Adios Purdue.
Yeah.
So, I also picked Purdue.
But somebody else won is what I'm getting at. And it was not me.
It was not me. I wandered my way all the way down to bottom place.
How was that
last place? I've been not doing great, but I was not in last between the four of us.
Yeah.
And boy, those last couple of weeks, I just shot right to the bottom and never came back up.
I was amazed by, like, I had a pretty good margin between me and second place.
Uh-huh.
And I was amazed by the points this individual received. For picking the right game.
Picking the winner, I mean.
Yeah. And just blew me out of the water just with that one pick.
So who would that individual be?
I guess it would be our producer.
The one who always bests us.
Are you talking about me?
Wow. We are.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we didn't put any wagers on this deal. It was just for fun.
I thought Matthew was going to take us to lunch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Even if you want.
He has not been around a whole lot. He's been out on the road.
Man, he's busy
working quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying those two are related.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying they're not.
I can say he was working. He was at the FFA deal in Hot Springs.
Oh, that's right. You went down there and judged?
Yeah, we judged a discussion meet. And I will say that I judged three heats. There's four individuals in each heat. And every single one of them brought a podcast.
Really?
I don't know if it's because y'all knew I was judging.
They were trying
to get some points.
Yes, you do know. But they must have been tipped off and trying to score.
I think the question or the discussion topic was, how do you reach more farmers and diversify agriculture in different aspects? And they were given all these ideas, and every single one of them said the podcast was a good way to get the word out there.
A podcast or this podcast?
Our podcast.
Wow. Yeah. How about that?
So thank you all you FFA students out there that listen to the podcast. And make sure to like, leave a review, and tell your friends about us.
Yeah. And we'll put your check in the mail this week. Oh, my goodness. Well, we talked a little bit about deep dives earlier. And like I said, If you haven't seen those, we did do something different with those. So our deep dives are usually audio only.
That's correct.
But that, you know, if you're not a fan of the show, or maybe you're watching for the first time, then our deep dive episodes are those that we take a closer look at a topic we normally cover.
Yep.
Or we would have covered. We had the opportunity during the last congressional break to bring in Senator John Bozeman, Congressman Westerman, and Congressman Rick Crawford to come in and join us on the show. Those each have individual episodes. We did go ahead and use video with those two.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find those on YouTube or Facebook if you want to watch them. Or if you just want to listen like you normally do, you know how to do that. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, however you like to get your podcast.
And it was really good insight if you're curious to what they're working on personally, on the Hill. So I had a really good time interviewing with Crawford and Bozeman.
Mm-hmm.
You seemed to really enjoy Westerman's interview too. So
I did.
If you want to geek out on some political or just issues that are going to affect you as a farmer,
for sure.
That would be a really good listen.
Well, what's fascinating is...
Or watch, since it's on video.
Yeah, I went back, or I read a headline this week, sort of preparing for the show this week. One of those bills that Westerman was sitting in that chair, and we were talking about, got out of committee this week. And I'm like, that's pretty cool. We were just talking about that, where he hoped to move that along. You know, he was talking about that on this show in this mm-hmm. studio, mm-hmm. and now here we are. Here we are moving in D.C. You know, he's made that progress.
If it wasn't for you, it may not have moved that fast, you know?
Look, I don't want to take all... Okay, all right, I'll take the credit. So anyway, check those episodes out. They're all great. They really are, and they're pretty short, too. I mean, they're all 15 minutes or so, so mm-hmm. you can knock them out pretty quickly. Let's see. Speaking of legislation, the Arkansas legislature is in fiscal session right now, have been for a few weeks now, and our team, the Public Affairs Government Relations team, is there at the state capitol, sort of keeping an eye on things and keeping the updates flowing, I should say. I know our team is sent out a few different emails giving updates on issues that are being looked at. For the most part, it's just been fiscal matters, you know, budget kind of stuff that's been discussed, and it is a fiscal session. So
crypto
that makes
mining,
sense.
Though, has been a big topic.
You're exactly right. So there have been crypto mining. The crypto mining legislation, I would say, would be the only sort of deviation from that fiscal conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of that. One of those reasons is, in order to take up anything that's not fiscally related, the chamber has to vote for it had to have a two-thirds approval.
Okay,
so you got to have a pretty good majority to even open up the conversation about another topic, to tell you how popular crypto mining is as a conversation there. I read this morning there have been two bills advanced out of, they both started in the Senate. Pardon me. And they've advanced out of the Senate, mm-hmm. Senate Bill 78 and Senate Bill 79.
Okay.
Both of them do a few things like regulate noise levels from crypto mines. They regulate foreign ownership in some countries
mm-hmm.
or from some countries. And then they give some ability back to the local jurisdiction, mm-hmm. I'll say, for lack of a better term, to apply further regulation or moderation. So we'll see how those go.
Yeah.
That, like I said, they pass out of the Senate. They've got to go over to the House, see how all that goes. But it's been, I would say, I think the crypto mining stuff has gotten more attention than the fiscal stuff.
I mean, I think it should be up to those local areas to decide whether or not, I mean, because the from what I can tell is this mining of crypto is pretty loud process.
It's loud. It's resource intensive.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're living out in rural areas of the state,
mm-hmm.
there's a reason why you're wanting to live out there, because it's quiet and you want to be away from things. But if you've got this giant warehouse full of buzzing and humming hardware, then, that interrupts it.
Life, so. We do have policy on this, and so far I think, you know, no objections from our perspective on this legislation that has moved through. So,
about the Century Farms program?
Yeah. You want to talk about that a little bit?
The application period is open still. I think we've talked about this a few times on the show. But it closes on May 31st. So you've got about, 30 days, a little mm-hmm. more than 30 days. Today's the 25th. If you're interested in applying, go to agriculture.arkansas.gov. And Beth Moore would be the staff person there at the department for any other questions that you may have. I've always thought this was a pretty cool program.
It's really cool to see the recognition that these farms and families get. Obviously, there's signage that goes along with it, mm-hmm. you know, so you can – it's really a big deal. And to do anything for 100 years deserves some recognition.
The same ownership or same family, mm-hmm. I think, is what the deal is.
Yeah.
I've seen several across – I wouldn't say several, but I've noticed them up and down the highways.
Yeah. It's a pretty cool program. Speaking of statewide agriculture news and information, the Arkansas Water Plan update process. We've talked about this a ton on this show. NRCS is kind of running point on that, I believe. Don't quote me on that, but Chris Colclasure over at the mm-hmm. Ag Department. They're running point on this and working on these updates to the state water plan. When we've talked about this in the past, we've told you that there will be public comment portion of this process, and we are quickly approaching that process. So a couple weeks ago, we found out that it's, you know, now is the time or soon will be the time to add your input. And you guys, if you listen to the show, you know we always say it. Your input, your perspective is important. If you don't give your perspective, nobody will.
That's true.
So please prioritize this. There will be meetings scheduled. There are meetings scheduled, pardon me, May 6th through 10th. All meetings, and I'm about to get you locations, all meetings are from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. every day, May 6th through 10th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. There's a meeting in Jonesboro, Fort Smith, Magnolia, Stuttgart, and Little Rock. I'm not telling you I have those days in order, so don't just assume that the Jonesboro meeting is May 6th. You can go to agriculture.arkansas.gov, pull up that schedule, make sure you know the location details. And again, those meetings are 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. every day. And there's more detail there on how they're dividing up that time, you know, how the morning sessions will go versus the afternoon, things like that. But
I'm interested to hear more about what are the groundwater levels like in eastern Arkansas, or up and down the Delta, I should say.
Right.
And how has that changed over the last 10, 15, 20 years?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. So, go participate in that state water plan update, public comment period. And then lastly, before we dig into some news, a quick update on planting progress this week. You know, it's really wet today. Mm-hmm. We here in Little Rock, we've avoided any rain really until today. There may have been some over the weekend, but we've really avoided rain.
Southern Arkansas has gotten a lot.
A lot of rain, especially Southeast Arkansas. So the headline here is that this lack of rain, this sort of dry period that we've been in, even when we've been predicted to get rain, I feel like it's been dry or it's missed us, you know. So we are well ahead of the five-year average and last year's progress, too, really. In most cases, we are two or three times where we normally are in this week of the year.
Are you? And you mean like with water level or amount of rainfall? Or
no, I'm sorry. Dry. Thank you for asking me to clarify. Planting progress.
Okay.
I was kind of talking about that in relation to planting, how we've gotten so far ahead.
Yeah.
Is the dry weather.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a quick rundown. Corn, we're nearly 70% planted in corn right now. Rice, 67%. Again, nearly 70% planted. Soybeans, kind of mind-boggling, 43% planted. And this was as of Monday. So if you have farmers trying to race against this rain coming this weekend, you know, I mean, there's no telling what ground we could have made up. Cotton, 6%. Peanuts, 4%. So, like I'm telling you, in some of these cases, we're three times further along than we would be in the 5-year average.
Well, you know, I've heard from several farmers that either cut down on their corn this year or cut it out completely. So I'm curious. I don't think we'll ever know, but maybe there's a way to find out that 70% and planted corn is due to the lower amount of corn being
planted. One reason they've been able to move at that pace is because that's
I've heard a lot of rice being planted too. So.
Yeah.
And I saw soybeans sprouted in somewhere around Phillips County area last weekend. So
really? Yeah, there was a – I was going to see if I could pull it up, but there was a there's definitely soybeans that have emerged in the progress tracker. I didn't really get into that just because sometimes it's, you know, it can be a little tedious and for time's sake, but you can hear me kind of fumbling. I'm trying to pull it up now. Soybeans, I mean, 20% of those 43% planted, 20% are emerged. I mean, that's a big deal.
That's more than I would think.
Especially with frost in some areas on Sunday night going into Monday morning. Corn, I mean, 68%. I mean, look, we jumped almost 20% from last week to this week in planting progress.
Yeah.
5 years ago, the 5-year average is 47%. We've got 68% of the corn in the ground.
Today.
I see your point. Well, as of Monday's report, they don't do it day by day.
Yeah.
It's by the week. But, you know, normally we're at 28% rice planted. Right now we're 67%.
Yeah. What did corn say for the 5-year average?
5-year average planted would be 47%.
Okay, you just said that, didn't
and it's 68. Yeah. 5-year average on beans is 15%. We're at 43%.
Moving.
So I bring those sort of dates up because of a story that you're going to bring today and what it may mean with us being, I'll say, ahead of the game.
So, you know, I have another thought. Like, so I know the people that cut back corn or got rid of it have increased their rice.
Right.
But did certain individuals also increase their soybeans?
Soybeans. I think so. I talked to somebody this week.
Because you went from 15 to 43%. That's a huge jump.
I talked to somebody this week that cut their corn down to 200 acres.
Mm.
And it was all beans.
Well, if you still have a corn header, you do want to use it, especially if you're still making that payment.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I just think the market, you know.
Well, yeah, it's clearly folks. Because of the market, you know, where the price is or where it's going. It's hard to make a dollar growing corn.
And you got to make some money.
Which is too bad because corn's easy to grow.
Man, yeah.
It just,
that's what I asked the reasoning, you know, thinking about markets and was told it's just expensive to grow still and was told like.
When I say easy, I mean like
you're talking.
Easy.
over 190, close to 200 bushel per acre.
Yeah.
To as a break even is what I was told. That's tough. That's tough.
You got to be breaking them yield records, man.
Yeah.
It's just
so, you know, I mean, when you need a record breaking year to break even, that's kind of tough to put it in the ground.
I'm not saying the price of corn's fallen by any means or going to in the future.
Yeah.
But just imagine if you invested in all that corn and then it dropped down to like $3.
Yeah.
Say come harvest. Mm. It shouldn't, but like, it's just insane.
Yeah.
Bewildered. So,
anyway, there's progress. We're moving along quickly. That's the point. May mean that we, you know, got a quick harvest or an early harvest. Who knows?
It might.
Somebody's probably cursing me right now. Are you knocking on wood? So I'll stop there. But
well, in case we anger any more superstitious farmers, you want to move on to the news?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Well, I'll start us off.
All right.
So due to budget cuts, the National Agricultural Statistics Service, or NAS, agency of USDA, has decided to cut three vital reports.
Mm-mm.
Earlier this month, NAS announced that they will be canceling the July cattle report and discontinuing the cotton objective yield survey, as well as all county estimates for crops and livestock beginning with the 2024 production year.
Mm.
This comes after there was no increase in NAS appropriations in March. According to NAS, and I quote, "The decision to discontinue these surveys and reports was not made lightly, but was necessary given the appropriate budget levels." Needless to say, the cancellation of these reports is very untimely given the growing effort to increase market transparency in the cattle market. The January 1st and July U.S. cattle inventory reports give us a good idea of supplies in the U.S. throughout the year, and without the July report, we could see more uncertainty in the cattle sector. The loss of the objective yield survey for cotton could also propel uncertainty in cotton markets, and the loss of county yield estimates could hinder research on which risk management programs, such as crop insurance, are based.
Mm.
Agricultural Secretary Tom Vilsack told reporters USDA had to fill a 5.2% increase department-wide in salaries with a flat budget that came 7 months into the year.
Oh, wow.
He was also quoted saying they can get mad at NAS, but they really should go and talk to appropriators. Excuse me. The way this budget works is tough. It's tough because it's not as if the Department of Agriculture is the first budget to get done. It's not, I mean, he has a point, it's not quite a priority as compared to other things, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, current sure. issues. Lastly, organizations such as the American Farm Bureau, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and the Renewable Fuels Association have all publicly announced their opposition to the discontinuing of these reports and have called for the decision to be reversed. And I will say, as an economist who uses these numbers on an annual, if not quarterly, monthly basis, I am also very disappointed in this.
Yeah, so NAS, I mean, that's the numbers we were just talking about, plan progress. All that comes from NAS. We had Mike Clam on here to talk about the ag census. All that falls within NAS. Now, I know we're not talking about getting rid of crop planting progress on a statewide basis and things like that, but, I mean, when you talk about some of these, you know, county estimates for crops and livestock and things like that, I mean, that can be impactful.
Another thing that I finally read that I hadn't read about it, but an impact that it could have not having these reports. Say like a hurricane comes through or a tornado or giant windstorms or hail, we use those county estimates to figure out what the actual impact is in that area or in that county.
Oh,
so like those big windstorms that knocked down those power lines in Ashley County or Drew County last year and knocked out all those tomatoes. I mean, that also helps give information and evidence to why we should declare that area or county a declaration of
emergency.
Yeah. So without these reports, I mean, you know, in the next few years will probably be all right because they're not going to be that big of a change if those old reports are still available. But going into the future, you know, we're kind of going to be going into it blind unless you or an organization has the resources to collect that information.
Collect that data. I'm thinking about when I started here in 2021. That's the summer that Deschey County saw all that flooding.
Oh, yeah.
And we, being Farm Bureau, your team at the time was the first dollar figure assessment of damage down in Deschutes County and around that area, Ashley County too, I think. Y'all were the first ones to put together a dollar amount, even before the university or anybody else.
Yeah.
And that probably is, that's an example of what you're talking
that's
about.
Exactly. That's
not
where,
being available.
You know, Mark Lambert, now our state lobbyist, he left us, but he's the one that wrote
that
report.
That put that report together. Yeah.
And it looked like a lake down there.
Yeah. You know? It was awful. We were down there with the governor's office and Senator Bozeman.
All those numbers he used come from those reports.
Those reports.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, I'll kick off with some data from farms across the U.S. That will certainly be something worth bragging about.
Awesome.
American Farm Bureau economist Daniel Munch is certainly someone our audience is familiar with. He has a wrap-up of the EPA's latest edition of the Inventory of U.S. Greenhouse Gas Emissions and Sinks report. That's a long report name there. The report has been published annually since 1990 and provides an annual estimate of all man-made greenhouse gas emission sources in the U.S., as well as estimates of the amount of carbon trapped in forest and vegetation soil. This report is submitted to the United Nations as part of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change Reporting Guidelines on Annual Inventories, which is part of a global standardized process for reporting greenhouse gas emissions. Now, U.S. agriculture represents just under 10% of the total U.S. emissions when compared to other economic sectors. Overall, U.S. greenhouse gas emissions increased from 2021 to 2022 by 1.3%. But agricultural emissions dropped 1.8%, the largest decrease of any economic sector. 2022 marks the lowest U.S. ag greenhouse gas emissions since 2012. Okay, we're going to set some context a little bit as I try, and I'm going to try and paint you a story here. Munch attributes the increase in emissions from 21 to 22 to the likely increase in economic activity as the COVID pandemic began to slow, right? So we said overall, U.S. greenhouse gas emissions increased from 21 to 22. He's saying that was likely because of, you know, people getting out more as COVID kind of started to relent a bit.
Yep.
That said, as we all know, agricultural production continued throughout COVID 19 disruptions and lockdowns, which makes the decrease in emissions even more impressive.
Okay.
So, meaning, normal traffic sort of died, ag production stayed steady or increased, and the emissions went down during that time. So let's talk a little bit about carbon sinks. Land use changes in forestry trapped 854 million metric tons of carbon in the soils, representing 13% of the total U.S. emissions. Okay. The transportation industry made up the largest emission source, accounting for 28% of the total. Although it was down incrementally, electricity generation was the next contributor with a quarter of total emissions, with the industrial sector falling at 23%. So you had transportation at 28%, electric generation at 25%, and then industrial at 23%. EPA categorizes agricultural emissions by crop cultivation, livestock, and fuel combustion. In 2022, crop cultivation emissions were down 1.7% over the previous year and accounted for right around half of ag's total emissions count. Livestock was down 2.1% and accounted for another 4.3% in the ag industry count. The drop likely attributed to lower industry inventory numbers, something we've talked about a lot on this show. And then fuel combustion for that third category was also down 1.2%, accounting for a little more than half a percentage point to the overall total. So all three subsectors of agriculture, as EPA sees it, were down, and what contributed to that overall reduction there.
And one thing I was thinking of, and you hit on it here with forestry, the sequestration of carbon. I'd be willing to bet that agriculture, even outside of forestry, if you want to limit it to that, is the largest sector that sequesters carbon.
Carbon, Well, I thought that was interesting.
Do you think those numbers are net numbers?
Well, they attribute it to land use changes, mm-hmm. and forestry.
Okay.
In the carbon sink category. So what they're saying is the amount of carbon captured in a sink,
yeah.
was represented,
okay.
13, that may be the magic word, represented 13% of total U.S. carbon emissions.
Okay.
So we sunk 13% of what we expounded,
cool.
Put out. So anyway, a lot of percentages, a lot of data there, but really interesting to see. When you hear next time you're at coffee or at a dinner party and you hear somebody talk about the impact of agriculture, especially when it comes to greenhouse gas emissions, you've got a little tool in your pocket
throw that
fact out. Actually, we reduced greenhouse gas emissions and we're only 10% of the total output. So, all right, well, let's take a short break and hear a bit about what Farm Bureau membership can do in your community.
Let's do it.
Your Arkansas Farm Bureau membership supports the work we do on behalf of Arkansas farmers, ranchers, and communities around the state. A $40 annual Farm Bureau membership makes a difference in your neighborhood. From youth leadership programs and academic scholarships to hunger relief and disaster support, you can make a difference and be a champion for your community. Join at arfb.com.
All right, let's talk about the weather.
All right.
And the transition from El Nino to La Nina.
Okay.
I told him I was going to stumble through this today. I sourced this information I'm about to give you from Tyne Morgan of AgWeb.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So although we are transitioning into La Nina, the rain we've experienced so far this year is proof that we are still experiencing the effects of El Nino. However, experts aren't 100% sure when El Nino will officially move in. They are predicting drier conditions across the southern U.S. when it does.
Mm.
Brad Rippey, USDA's meteorologist, was quoted saying, "I feel like the transition to La Nina is already underway. The thing about that is the impacts often are not felt for many months." He expanded it by saying, "Just as we are still feeling the effects of El Nino, after its peak, La Nina may not come until the fall."
Interesting.
So we've got some time. Moving on. According to the National Oceanic Atmospheric Association, or NOAA, mm-hmm. there's a 60% chance we will see La Nina develop between June and August.
Mm.
That chance increases, though, to 85% between November 2024 and January 2025.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So as the fall moves on, we're more than likely going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Snodgrass.
Snodgrass.
Yeah. Right. Science fellow and principal atmospheric scientist from Ag Solutions, says that it is very difficult to predict the timing of the transition until we get into May, and they can start tracking ocean temperature changes. He also looked back in history that shows every time El Nino peaked at Christmas, then transitioned into La Nina in summer, it created a drought scenario in the Cotton Belt.
Okay.
Snodgrass finished by saying some years that drought the drought was seen in Texas, some years in the Delta, and some years in the Southeast.
So it moves around.
Yeah, it just jumps. Although he is unsure of what the weather will do this summer, he is confident that we will experience warmer than average temperatures, specifically warmer overnight lows. And his prediction is based on the coming decline of El Nino, and as La Nina begins, it could give opportunity for a active hurricane season this year too.
Mm.
So, I don't know if that was good news, but informative.
It is what it is.
Yeah,
kind of got a plan for it. Well, if it comes in the fall, I think, let's say everything continues the way we've headed with the early planting season, maybe that will be helpful or beneficial down the line.
I think our plant season isn't really going to see any impacts. I think we'll probably still have quite a bit of seasonal rain that we usually do in the spring. But it kind of seems like if you're leaning into this article, it will have a pretty dry summer.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of
and warm.
A lot of irrigation bills.
Yeah.
But maybe the earlier in, the earlier out.
It's true.
And if that thing moves towards November.
Hey, we might get a second crop of rice this year. You never know.
Who knows? You're pretty funny. All right. Well, to wrap us up today, some news on EQIP funding from USDA. As we talked about earlier, USDA is now accepting applications for from farmers for enrollment in a special EQIP sign-up. USDA's NRCS is investing nearly $11 million in total to support farmers through the Migratory Bird Resurgence Initiative, which falls under EQIP, with up to $4 million of those funds being provided in Arkansas. Mm. The funds are meant to protect and improve natural resources and habitat for migratory birds and other avian species in the prairie pothole region and targeted areas of the Pacific, Mississippi, and Central Flyways.
Okay.
NRCS in Arkansas will provide, again, up to $4 million in financial assistance in fiscal year 2024 for the Migratory Bird Initiative. Now, NRCS, Arkansas State Conservationist Mike Sullivan, said creating habitat on private lands in Arkansas flyways is vital to sustaining our migratory bird populations, as well as building climate resiliency and carbon stewardship on working lands, a concept farmers are very familiar with, of course. He goes on to say providing migratory birds with more areas to nest and additional food and resting areas for overwintering will lead to improved habitat that not only benefits wildlife, but will result in greater natural resource conservation. Mm. In addition to Arkansas, assistance is available in California, Iowa, Louisiana, Mississippi, Montana, North Dakota, and South Dakota, and Texas. Interested producers should submit applications for EQIP MBRI, that's that Migratory Bird Initiative, acronym there, financial assistance by May 17th, 2024 for funding considerations this year. So a deadline coming up in a little under a month.
Okay.
Applications for EQIP financial assistance are accepted throughout the year, though. Specific program deadlines are set for ranking and funding opportunities within each state. As with other times we've talked about EQIP funding or had the folks from NRCS in here to talk about those funds, you know, you can always call your local office of USDA and ask for assistance or more information there, too.
Yeah, I'm surprised you don't see Missouri, Kansas, or Oklahoma on this list.
Being within the flyway there. Yeah.
And it seems like over the last, I don't know, duck season hadn't been great since I was like 10. But,
sure.
That's all. That's just comparative uh-huh. or relative, whatever you want to say. But it seems like either there's more hunters in that those northern northwest of us, mm-hmm. or the flyway has shifted to some extent.
Yeah,
you know, and I don't know. There's so much variables as to why we don't have as many ducks as we used to. But I can still speculate and come
sure
up with
my
conspiracy
can.
Theories.
Yeah,
yeah. But I'm still they're harvesting ducks in those states, and I'm surprised they're not listed in this.
Not listed here. Mm-hmm. That is interesting. Well. We shall see. I know there's, you know, I know our farmers, there's such a tight connection between our farmers and that migratory bird,
yeah.
Work. So we'll just see how that goes.
Or maybe they're trying to push them back to their natural flyways.
Oh. Mm,
mm.
Yeah. Okay. He's got his tinfoil hat on now.
I rarely take it off.
I've been kind of thinking about getting a bird watching guide.
What do you mean?
I'm just coming into my old age.
You mean like
if I'm
like
sitting
a book?
Out on the deck? Yeah, oh, I've got a book I can say.
I think
hey, man.
Somebody for hire.
What is that? Oh, sorry. No. Sorry. A book. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just kind of see if I can.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And have some fun with that.
I think I don't know. I don't know for sure. He's pretty far away. I think I saw a bald eagle Saturday.
Oh, really?
I think it was Saturday. No. It was Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
Sorry.
Were you hunting?
My aluminum hat's still on my head.
Okay.
Yes, we were.
Okay.
My little brother.
Every once in a while, I've seen a few over my time, mm-hmm. And they never cease to amaze, you know?
I saw a lot of cardinals this year in the woods.
What?
And blue jays.
My kiddo and I have been walking after work, just kind of getting out, getting the dog yeah. out, whatever. And we have come across a cardinal or more. Mm-hmm. Female every day,
yeah.
it feels like.
Yeah.
At least every day.
And you make that comment about getting older. The older I get, the more I'm like, I wonder what bird makes that sound. You know, you can't see the bird, but I'm interested to know what bird makes that.
That's where I'm headed. We've had a woodpecker hanging around in our backyard quite a bit. And when I hear him, I want to go out there and see if I can lay eyes on him, you know?
Yeah.
Again.
Get you a nice pair of binoculars.
Hey, listen, here's what I tell my buddies. Anything to get that phone or screen out of my face.
Yeah,
that's true. Really my focus as I, you know, as a pirate looks at 40, I guess. I don't know. That's really my focus is to anything to keep me from sitting there scrolling or something.
Yeah, you could start building little kinda model personal. Boats and collecting stamps. Or
now you're just making fun of me. Can we move on with this show? Because this guy.
You could crochet.
Never mind. You're on the boat,
you could start quilting.
You can start making leather goods.
And if I do, you'll get something.
Now, I need a new wallet, actually.
Speaking of, could you maybe fire that up sooner than later?
Yeah, I think
a wallet.
What you need to do.
Anyway, all right. Old man soapbox is over here.
Well, it's all good thoughts.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyhow, but, what do you got going on?
Well, I know you're all just delaying the inevitable because we're back here. So it is time to
stump dosed.
Yes.
It's been a while.
If he does a bird call quiz for us in the next couple of weeks, I'm going
to
be
If
so
you do,
upset.
You have to enact the bird call.
Yeah, yourself. Well, no electronic representation. It's just you.
Well, that was what I was going to say. You're saying, what bird makes that sound? Who's to say it's not your neighbor out there? Like,
so. Yeah, look at John over there staring at the trees.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
All right. What do we got going on?
All right. I have started a new thing here.
Oh, okay.
This is it's still trivia, but I have found a little golden egg. It's called Random Trivia Generator.
Oh.
So all these are
so
just...
you don't even know.
No, these are random.
Oh, okay.
So it could be fun, but I will let you pick categories.
Okay.
So I wanted to give you an example so you guys can answer some. But
okay.
Like, here's one. It's arts, the arts category.
We look like we're good at that, don't we?
I was art club president my senior year in high school, so.
You never cease to amaze.
Well, then here we go. Let's see how you do.
Felt braggadocious to me.
What does
I need to put something on the resume. Sorry. Go ahead.
What does alma mater translate to in English?
That doesn't feel artsy to me.
No, I was thinking of like Michelangelo and
School of Yesterday. I don't know.
Alumna.
Bountiful Mother.
Bountiful. How does that even relate?
I don't know.
I
didn't
you're not
make
here
it up.
To explain it.
I didn't
you're
make
just
it up.
To
I'm
ask.
Just I just gave you an example.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
This is gonna be incredibly hard.
So entertainment. You guys usually like entertainment.
We do.
So, all right. What rock musician got his stage name from the yellow and black jerseys he used to wear?
Bob Marley.
I have no idea.
Sting.
Sting. Oh, nice. Okay.
So, I didn't know he wore
black. Yellow and black. B.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay.
All right. Which I get it.
Which I've heard. Who knows the accuracy of this stuff?
Yeah.
I've heard that he's a huge Tolkien buff. Sting. Yeah. So
musicians. I mean, Robert Plant was that way. He loved Tolkien.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's tracks.
Okay. So. I chose to.
Okay.
There's categories. There's you could choose history, geography, general, entertainment, arts. You could do
any of those. You want to pick one?
History.
We'll each pick one.
All right. Here we go.
Brave man.
Who is the U.S. first Postmaster General?
Not multiple choice either.
That just made me go back to that movie. It was like, what's his name? The guy that's in Yellowstone and all the baseball movies.
Yeah.
Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner. He played in like
the Postmaster.
Yeah.
There was a
Kevin
movie
Costner
called the Postmaster
for a dollar.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Tom Petty was in that movie, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. Nope. That's an odd combo. All right. So who was it? We clearly.
Well.
Hang on. Was it George Washington or was it Ben Franklin or Thomas Jefferson?
It was one of those.
Oh.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, that's Ben Franklin.
Ben Franklin.
That's familiar now Ben Franklin. You said that.
Very good.
He was using a key to a post office box when he was flying his kite.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all historically accurate.
So do you want to pick another
before we're out of here? I'll do one. How about I'll go back to entertainment.
Okay, entertainment.
We just did entertainment. Anyways, it's your guess.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want any more of those questions like you got.
We got closer than we did the last entertainment.
That's fair.
Here we are.
All right.
In how many theatrically released movies has Anthony Hopkins played the character Hannibal Lecter?
Ooh. Four.
Yeah, I was going to say four, but it's probably three.
It is three.
Yeah.
It is three. Overshot it. Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal, and Red Dragon.
Red Dragon. Okay. All right.
Was Red Dragon the most recent?
Mm, I think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was. I think Hannibal was the most disturbing. And they're all disturbing.
I was going to say, I think I made it halfway through Hannibal and then didn't see any more.
Anyways.
I don't know. Anyway.
So, anyway.
That's fun.
I like that.
We'll continue to have some fun and we'll let you guys choose. And
I like the randomness of it.
There you go.
Ben Franklin.
So, anyway, I think that could be pretty fun. We'll continue trying that for a little while.
It. Yeah.
So,
For sure.
Anyway, that's all I got for you today.
All right. Cool. I like it. Well, hey, look, that wraps up the news for this week. Thanks for following along with the Arkansas AgCast. We're grateful for you taking the time to watch and listen.
Remember, you can catch new episodes of the show every Thursday afternoon. Find video episodes on Facebook and YouTube. Listen to the audio version wherever you listen to podcasts.
And make sure to subscribe and leave us a review when you have a few extra minutes. The Arkansas AgCast is brought to you by the Arkansas Farm Bureau. I'm Jason Brown.
And I'm John McMinn.
And we'll see you next week.